Okay, we're going to switch gears entirely. So now we're going to talk about the population of people that will be available for data collection for school nurses. And this is measuring birth outcomes in New York State. So we are talking about New York State as a whole with all 62 counties, not New York City. And when I come to conferences like this, people look at my name tag and they think I'm from New York City and I'm about 5 hours away. So, and we are doing this as a multidimensional approach at the county level. So we have no disclosures. By way of introduction, when you look at the data, then you want to find out what's happening in a particular year. And so in 2011, when you look at the United States as a whole, you can see that there were just under 4 million births. And since we're looking at what we call poorer birth outcomes, which are low birth weight categories, 8.1% of that almost 4 million were low birth weight. And so definitions are helpful. They're always helpful. Low birth weight is less than 2,500 grams when they're born, regardless of gestational age. So less than 2,500 grams if they're born at 33 weeks, which would be unusual, or if they're born at 39 weeks. And so if you translate 2,500 grams, then that's about 5 pounds, 5 ounces. 1.4% were born very low birth weight, which is less than 1,500 grams at birth, or 3.3 pounds, regardless of gestational age. And that those figures are from the CDC. So then we want to bring that down, because a little less than 4 million births is a big number. So what happens every single day on an average in the United States? About 964 infants are low birth weight, and 173 infants are very low birth weight across the United States. But our presentation is about New York. So what happens in the entire state of New York? In 2011, there were over 19,000 babies who were born in all of the low birth weight categories. So I told you the definition of low birth weight is less than 2,500 grams at birth, regardless of gestational age, which would mean very low birth weight, extremely low birth weight, and moderately low birth weight, which is a new category, all fit into that. And so 15,891 of the 19,417 babies were moderately low birth weight. So what in the world is that definition? Well, you take the upper echelon of low birth weight, and that is 1,500 grams to 2,499 grams. So that's the higher portion of the low birth weight category that were born moderately. And you can see by far the majority of them were moderately low birth weight. 3,526 were born very low birth weight, and then couched in that is just under 1,700 babies who were born extremely low birth weight, which is less than 1,000 grams at birth, regardless of gestational age. And so if we turn that into numbers, we understand that would be less than 2.2 pounds. New York State has 62 counties. They have all ranges of metropolitan, non-metropolitan, if you use one coding schema, rural, urban, suburban. And so based on the way you classify them, a lot of the times the funding for different policies comes through in a different way. When you look at a map like this, this one is the percentage of very low birth weight from 2009 through 2011. And so if you look at this area right here, this is representative of all 62 counties. And you can see that counties have all different percentages of very low birth weight. So one policy is not rubber stamped for all counties. It's just not going to work because counties have variable needs. When you look at the map on the right, the darker the color, the higher the percentage of low birth weight. The same thing can be said for the percentage of low birth weight for New York counties in the same time frame. And when you compare the maps side by side, then you can see that counties don't have the same problems. And so again, another reason you can't rubber stamp a policy or a program and say, well, this is a really fabulous thing, and so we're just going to apply it to every single county in New York State because it won't work. The rationale for this study was that despite everything that we have tried to do, despite every program, every policy, poor birth outcomes remain a significant public health concern. And so we know that Medicaid has comprehensive prenatal care. It has dental care, regular standard prenatal care, group prenatal care. It has psych care, preventive care, I mean, everything you can name, Medicaid has, and the Affordable Care Act has, and the prevention is in there as well. They're evolving models of prenatal care that include the regular visits like I had in the dark ages when I had my children, and I went to my provider, and it was a one-on-one thing. Well, now they have school-based clinics, and they have group prenatal care plans, and lots of moms like that, varying ages. But despite evolving models of prenatal care, we haven't solved this problem. We have not met Healthy People 2020 objectives. And so I demonstrated to you that these are outcomes that differ significantly across counties. When we look at the distribution of birth weight categories, you can look on the right and see that Healthy People 2020 calls for a low birth weight rate of no more than 7.8%, and New York is still above that. The very low birth weight. We're close, but we're not there. And if you look at the pie chart, the really good news is that most of the babies don't have this problem. So 91.9%, almost 92% of these babies don't fall in this category at all. So if there's any great, bright, and sunny message, that's it. Most of the babies don't fall in this category. But I will tell you from personal experience that the babies that do are really needy, and the smaller they are, the greater the hardship on the family. So the purpose of this study is twofold. We wanted to assess predictors of all of these categories of low birth weight in New York State counties and then make some unique policy recommendations to tackle each category. There are a lot of factors that add to the burdens of these categories of low birth weight, and probably none of them would surprise you if you've read any of the literature, like location. So this is healthography, and when you talk about birth weights, place matters. Maternal age, the adolescent population, you know, it's a little offensive to me that I have to tell you that an advanced maternal age definition is 35 years old and older. We have a lot of moms who deliver babies at 35 and older. Fortunately, it's a really good thing that I've been married longer than that. I know it can't possibly be true, but it is. Ethnicity and race, the literature is replete with support that the black population has highest rates of low birth weight. Prenatal care, whether early or late, providers, we all know providers are necessary for our pregnant population, and socioeconomic status through poverty, unemployment, and income, and then marital status, and in particular, we looked at out of wedlock. There are a lot of gaps in the literature because a lot of the studies you read look at individually based studies. They don't necessarily look at policy, and no studies have evaluated this type of multidimensional approach to measuring these categories of low birth weight for all counties in New York with the purpose of providing some unique differences at the county level that lead to policy recommendations. So this was all from public domain data from several sources that you see on the screen, and this was an ex post facto analysis using a descriptive correlational design. For New York counties, the analyses were conducted to compare the explanations of a portion of the variation in each of these. And just for your review and refreshment, the definitions are up on the screen that I have provided for you already. And remember, these are regardless of gestational age. So how do you manage all the predictors that we had? And we chose to group them into demographic predictors. And you can see those: location, out of wedlock, teen pregnancy rate, and advanced maternal age birth rate. Into socioeconomic predictors, rate of unemployment, by thousands, percent Medicaid, Family Health Plus First, percent poverty for all ages, and then health service predictors of early and late prenatal care percentages, and then MOMS providers, which stands for Medicaid Obstetrical Maternal Services per county. So we, as you should do with any study, you ask your question, and then you make your hypothesis. And so this is the hypothesis. This is the direction we predicted each of these variables would go in the analysis. And so any counties that are more rural or they have higher percentages of out-of-wedlock births, higher teen pregnancy rates, higher advanced maternal age birth rates, higher rates of unemployment, higher percentage of Medicaid Family Health Plus births, higher poverty, higher prenatal care, and fewer moms would have higher rates of each of these birth outcomes. We used backward multiple regression to do this, and due to the risk of multicollinearity, the percentage of births with Medicaid Family Health Plus coverage and percent poverty were eliminated from the analysis because they were just messing everything up because they were so similar. And in addition to that, we did a Mann-Hallinovitz distance analysis that identified two New York counties as outliers that were really skewing the data and the results. And so we removed Bronx and New York County, which are down near New York City in that area, from the analysis. So this is based on 60 and not 62 counties. So here's a nice busy slide for you. Every presentation should have one. And so when you look at this, I would direct you to the note at the bottom first. And so if there's a minus, you can see each of the outcome variables across the top, and you can see the predictors on the left side going down, and you can see red and you can see black. And so if there's a minus, whether red or black, the relationship did not go in the expected direction. If there's a check, it did go in the expected direction. And then based on level of significance, there's one asterisk or there are two asterisks. And the significant ones are also in red. So what you want to take away from this, based on a multidimensional approach, is that we didn't do this, and then do this, and then do this, and then do this. We did this, comparing predictors among all of those variables, looking for ones that are common and ones that are unique. And so remember that the county map of New York State demonstrated that you can't just rubber stamp one program or one policy and say, well, it works for extremely low birth weight, so it's going to work for all of them. Or it works for low birth weight, so it'll work for everyone underneath that. And so be assured that we will be tackling each one of these red areas right now. Common predictors. Percent late prenatal care was a statistically significant predictor for all of the four birth weight categories. Now, this is a little challenging for me in my field because if you have an extremely low birth weight infant, by definition, late prenatal care begins at the 7th month of gestation, but I can guarantee you that an infant born less than 2.2 pounds is not going to be in the 7th month of pregnancy. And yet this came out as a statistically significant predictor for all of the four birth weight categories. Percent out of wedlock live births was a statistically significant predictor of extremely low birth weight, moderately low birth weight, and low birth weight. And then mom's offices was a statistically significant predictor of extremely, very, and low birth weight, but it didn't go in the direction that we expected it to go. So policy recommendations based on this for counties. So the first one is prenatal care, and we know that late prenatal care is the one, but early prenatal care is also a very important thing. And so very important for New York State counties to support Medicaid Family Health Plus coverage for all people who qualify, and this is that comprehensive coverage that I mentioned to you earlier. And then the Affordable Care Act is in place, and Title II of that has simplified the enrollment into Medicaid and Preserve the Child Health Insurance Program, CHIP, that provides insurance for uninsured and teens. And then the ACA also covers all the preventive services that are underneath the Medicaid umbrella, including screenings, breastfeeding support, tobacco cessation counseling, in addition to the ones that I have already mentioned. Percentage out of wedlock live births happens with teenagers. It happens with young adults, older adults, advanced maternal age adults. And it was a significant predictor of three of the birth weight categories. So very important to maintain programs that have counseling and support for this population, like school-based health clinics, preconception counseling, and community education programs. The moms providers didn't go in the direction we would expect. So when you think of a Medicaid obstetrical provider, you would think that having all of that comprehensive care in a county would mean that you would have lower birth outcomes. So, you know, the important thing about this is that it didn't go in the expected direction, so it indicated that counties with fewer moms' offices have better birth outcomes. And I know, I knew you would keep this lively. So Really, when you think about that, if you turn it upside down a little bit, then if you think that these are provider offices that are put in the counties with highest need, and so every county doesn't have highest need for these birth outcomes. And so this is a very important program that needs to be maintained. So a positive policy decision would support the need for incentive programs and funding opportunities for these types of providers. And so interestingly, the Affordable Care Act has set guidelines for calculating the monthly income a family needs in order to qualify for Medicaid coverage, which fits under the umbrella of a mom's provider. And as of July of 2014, if you are a pregnant female in a family of four, you can make $4,333 in your home per month and still qualify for this. And so it allows many, many more people to have comprehensive prenatal care with all of the preventive services in addition. There were also unique predictors. So location, percent early prenatal care were significant predictors of extremely low birth weight and low birth weight. And percent early prenatal care was weakly correlated with these outcomes. Percent advanced maternal age and teen pregnancy rate were significant predictors of moderately low birth weight. It's that category that's toward the top of the low birth weight. So healthography, location matters. Location was analyzed using the rural-urban continuum codes, and it was a significant predictor of the lower categories of birth weight, and it indicated that the more rural the county, the higher percentage of extremely low birth weight and very low birth weight. So now think with me about what kind of provider office, what kind of hospital is in a rural county, because NICUs are in more urban counties and regional centers are in even higher population areas. And so since location predicted that the more rural, the higher, then we need more incentive programs and grants for providers that encourage them to work in rural areas so that we have more of the OBGYNs, the nurse practitioners, the moms providers, the midwives in our rural and underserved areas. Advanced maternal age was weakly correlated with extremely low birth weight and very low birth weight, but it was a significant predictor of moderately low birth weight. And so, you know, just because you're elderly in the pregnancy world, it doesn't mean you don't deserve care. You deserve the same kind of care that somebody of any age would deserve to have. And so we would always recommend that they could have the same kind of comprehensive care as our younger people. Teen pregnancy rate was a significant predictor of moderately low birth weight. And it was a unique predictor for this category. And so we think of our adolescent population with school-based clinics. And the school-based clinics have demonstrated a facilitation of higher rates of high school graduation. And they go in an area where they trust the people who are there. And there's provision of the comprehensive prenatal care for them. And there's also education about pregnancy prevention. And then we're all familiar with WIC, the Women, Infant, Children program that gives the nutritionally based care, also does a lot of research about developmental markers and everything like that. CHIP I mentioned earlier for the kids, and parenting classes and prenatal care through group settings, the adolescent population has an especial appreciation for. So even though in New York State significant efforts are being put into counties that have problematic birth weight issues, our analyses highlighted additional areas that need attention beyond providers. And I just want to say as a caveat that New York State is actually doing a very good job with its policies and programs. And so what we're looking for is sustainability. We want to evaluate them, make sure that the right counties have the right programs, and that they can be sustained. And so it's also important to implement and maintain programs for our teen pregnancy population and our women of all ages and marital status. And the really important thing is that each of these is an avenue for giving them the comprehensive and preventive care that they need, no matter whether they live in a rural or an urban county.